The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. Chapter 31, Additional Symptoms. All the previously mentioned 33 symptoms of ecstatic love are called vyabhichari, or disturbing. All these symptoms refer to apparently disturbed conditions, but even in such disturbed conditions there is acute ecstatic love for Krishna. These symptoms, however, can be divided into three groups: first class, second class, and third class. There are many disturbing symptoms in ecstatic love, such as envy, anxiety, pride, jealousy, conclusion, cowardliness, forgiveness, impatience, hankering, regret, doubtfulness, and impudence. These are included in the 33 conditions of ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami has very nicely analyzed the different kinds of disturbing symptoms, and although it is very difficult to find the exact English equivalents for many Sanskrit words used here, his analysis will now be presented. When one becomes malicious upon seeing another's advancement in life, his state of mind is generally called envy. When one becomes frightened at seeing a lightning bolt in the sky, that fearfulness brings on anxiety. Therefore, fearfulness and anxiety may be taken as one. One's desire to hide one's real mentality is called avahita, or concealment, and a desire to exhibit superiority is called pride. Both of these may be classified under pretension. In a pretentious attitude, both avahita and pride are to be found. One's inability to tolerate an offense committed by another is called amarsha, and one's inability to tolerate the opulence of another is called jealousy. Jealousy and amarsha are both caused by intolerance. One's ability to establish the correct import of a word may be called conclusiveness, and before such a conclusive determination of import, there must be thoughtful consideration. Therefore, the act of consideration is present during the establishment of a conclusion. When one presents himself as ignorant, his attitude is called humility, and when there is an absence of enthusiasm, it is called cowardice. Therefore, in humility, there is sometimes cowardice also. When the mind is steadfast, it is called enduring, and one's ability to tolerate others' offenses is also called endurance. Therefore, forgiveness and endurance can be synonymous. Anxiousness for time to pass is called impatience, and when one sees something wonderful, one is said to be struck with wonder. Impatience may be caused by being struck with wonder, and so impatience and being struck with wonder can be synonymous. When anxiety is in its dormant stage, it is called hankering. Therefore, hankering and anxiety can also be synonymous. When one becomes regretful of some offense, his feeling is called bashfulness. In this way, bashfulness and regret can be synonymous. Doubtfulness is one of the aspects of argument. After exhibiting impudence, one becomes restless. Therefore, restlessness and impudence can be synonymous. When all such symptoms are included in ecstatic love, they are called sanchari, or continuous existing ecstatic symptoms. All of these symptoms are transcendental, and they are exhibited in different ways, acting and interacting under different conditions. They are like the reciprocation of love between the lover and beloved. When a person is envious or defamed, there may be a change in the color of the body. This may be classified as vibhava, or sub-ecstasy. Sometimes illusion, collapse, and strong anxiety are also considered to be vibhava. When there are many such symptoms, they can be grouped together under ecstatic love. Srila Rupa Goswami says that fright, sleep, fatigue, laziness, and the madness of intoxication are sometimes grouped under continuous symptoms of ecstatic love, and they are due to a strong attraction. False argument, determination, steadiness, remembrance, joyfulness, ignorance, humility, and unconsciousness are also different symptoms of ecstatic love. Dependence is also grouped under ecstatic love, and this can be divided into superior dependence and inferior dependence. The direct differentiations between superior and inferior dependence are ascertained by Rupa Goswami and will be presented in due course. One devotee exclaimed, quote, "Oh, I cannot see the district of Mathura, even though by simply hearing the name of Mathura, the hairs of my body are standing up. I cannot see the place. So of what use are my eyes?" End quote. This statement reveals a strong anxiety to see the district of Mathura resulting from a strong attachment to Krishna. There is another instance of this strong attachment for Krishna expressed by Bhima when he began to murmur, quote, "My arms are just like thunderbolts, but despite these arms, I could not smash Shishupal while he was blaspheming Krishna. Therefore, of what use are these strong arms?" End quote. In this instance, Bhima became angry, and being influenced by such anger, his hopelessness became a cause of strong attachment to Krishna. This instance can be described as strong attachment for Krishna in anger. When Arjuna witnessed the universal form of Krishna, whose dazzling teeth were practically devouring the very existence of the universe, Arjuna's mouth became dried up. At that time, Arjuna forgot himself and could not understand that he was Arjuna, Krishna's friend, although he was always dependent upon Krishna's mercy. This incident is an example of inferior dependence. Sometimes, ghastly activities also support strong ecstatic love for Krishna. In the state of mind, this state of mind is called ecstatic fearfulness under illusion. In the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices. Quote, "We have all been born into three advantageous conditions. We are in high brahmana families, we have ceremoniously received the sacred thread, and we are also properly initiated by a spiritual master. But alas, in spite of all these advantages, we are condemned. Even our observance of brahmacharya is condemned." End quote. The brahmanas thus began to condemn their own activities. They realized that in spite of being so elevated by birth, education, and culture, they were still under the spell of the illusory energy. They also admitted that even great yogis who are not devotees of the Lord are covered by the influence of material energy. This kind of hopelessness felt by the brahmanas who were performing ritualistic ceremonies shows practically no attachment for Krishna. There is another hopelessness, however, which shows attachment for Krishna. When the bull demon attacked the damsels of Raja, they began to cry out, quote, "Dear Krishna, please save us. We are now gone," end quote. This is hopelessness with attachment for Krishna. When the Keshi demon was assassinated by Krishna, Krishna Kamsa became hopeless. He said, quote, "Keshi Daitra was very dear to me as my own life, but he has been killed by some cowherd boy who is crude, uneducated, and ignorant in fighting. Even though I have defeated the king of heaven without difficulty, still I do not know the value of life," end quote. Because this hopelessness has a slight touch of attraction for Krishna, it is considered to be a reflection of ecstatic love in hopelessness. Kamsa once rebuked Arkura by saying, quote, "You are such a fool that you're accepting a cowherd boy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply because he has defeated some harmless water snake. The boy may have lifted one pebble called Govardhan Hill, but what is more surprising is that is your statement that this boy is a Supreme Personality of Godhead," end quote. This is an instance of maliciously opposing an element caused by hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. One devotee tried to console a kadamba tree when the tree was lamenting because Krishna had not touched even its shadow. The devotee said, "My dear kadamba tree, do not be worried. Just after defeating the Kaliya snake in the Yamuna River, Krishna will come and satisfy your desire," end quote. This is an instance of inappropriate hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. Garuda, the eagle, the carrier of Vishnu, once said, quote, "Who can be more pure than I? Where is there a second bird like me, so able and competent? Krishna may not like me, he may not wish to join my party, but still he has to take advantage of my wings," end quote. This is an instance of hopelessness in the neutral mood of ecstatic love. The symptoms of ecstatic love are sometimes grouped under four headings, namely generation, conjunction, aggregation, and satisfaction. Krishna once told Radharani, quote, "Dear friend, when you tried to meet me alone in the morning, your friend Mekala remained hungry with envy. Just look at her, end quote. When Krishna was joking with Radharani in this way, Radharani moved her beautiful eyebrows crossly. Rupa Goswami prays that everyone may become blessed by this movement of Srimati Radharani's eyebrows. This is an instance of the generation of malice and ecstatic love of Krishna. One night, after the Putana demon had been killed, baby Krishna could be seen playing upon her breast. Upon seeing this, Yashoda became stunned for some time. This is an example of a conjunction of various symptoms of ecstatic love. The conjunction can be auspicious or inauspicious. That the Putana demon had been killed was auspicious, but that Krishna was playing on her breast in the dead of night with no one to help him in case of trouble was inauspicious. Yashoda was caught between auspiciousness and inauspiciousness. After Krishna had just learned to walk, he was going in and out of the house very frequently. Yashoda became surprised and said, quote, "This child is too restless and cannot be controlled. He's incessantly going about the neighborhood of Gokul, Vrindavan, and then he's coming back inside the house. I see that the child is very fearless, but in spite of his fearlessness, I am becoming more and more afraid of his falling into some danger," end quote. This again is an instance of the conjunction of two opposing elements. Child was very fearless, but at the same time, Yashoda was becoming fearful of some danger. Here, danger is the cause, and Yashoda's feelings are in a conjunction of two opposing symptoms. In other words, Yashoda was feeling both happiness and doubt, or growing fear. When Devaki, the mother of Krishna, saw her son very jubilant in the presence of the wrestlers in Kamsa's arena, two kinds of tears were simultaneously gliding down her cheeks. Sometimes her tears were warm, and sometimes they were cold. This is an instance of a conjunction of jubilation and lamentation due to different causes of ecstatic love. Once, when Srimati Radharani was standing on the bank of the Jamuna River in the forest of Vrindavan, she was attacked by Krishna, who was stronger than she. Although she externally expressed a disturbed mood from this incident, within herself she was smiling and feeling great satisfaction. Externally, she moved her eyebrows and made a show of rejecting Krishna. In this mood, Radharani looked very beautiful, and Srila Rupa Goswami glorifies her beauty. This is an instance of exhibiting varying feelings of ecstatic love, although the cause is only one, Krishna. Sometimes there are great festivals in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan would assemble for these festivals. During one such festival, Srimati Radharani was seen wearing a golden necklace given to her by Krishna. This was immediately detected by Mother Yashoda as well as by Radharani's mother because the necklace was too long for Radharani's neck. At the same time, Radharani could see near Krishna nearby as well as her own husband, Abhimanyu. So all of these things combined to make Radharani feel very much ashamed, and with her face shriveled, she began to look very beautiful. In this case, there was a combination of bashfulness, anger, jubilation, and lamentation. This is an instance of an aggregate of symptoms of ecstatic love. Kamsa once said, quote, "What harm can this boy do to me? He has no power," end quote. The next moment, Kamsa was informed that all of his friends had been killed by the boy. Then Kamsa began to think in perplexity, quote, "Shall I go immediately and surrender unto him? But how can a great warrior do this?" End quote. The next moment he thought, quote, "Why should I be afraid of him? There are still so many wrestlers standing to support me," end quote. But the next moment he began to consider, quote, "The boy is certainly not common because he's lifted Govardhan Hill with his left hand. So what can I do in this connection? Let me go to Vrindavan and inflict pains on all the residents there. But still, I cannot even go out because my heart is trembling in fear of this boy," end quote. This condition of Kamsa's mind reveals an instance of pride, lamentation, humility, determination, remembrance, doubtfulness, anger, and fear. Actually, 8 different symptoms comprise the mental condition of Kamsa. This is another instance of an aggregate of symptoms in hopeless ecstatic love. One householder devotee once said, quote, "My lord, I am so wretched that these two eyes are never desiring to see the glorious city of Mathura. Therefore, my eyes are actually condemned. I am nicely educated, but my education has simply been used in government service. I have not considered formidable time stronger than anything else, which creates and annihilates everything. To whom shall I leave all my wealth and fortune? I am becoming older and older. What shall I do? Shall I execute devotional service here at home? This I cannot do, because my mind is being attracted by the transcendental land of Vrindavan. End quote. This is an instance of hopelessness, pride, doubt, patience, lamentation, determination, and eagerness, an aggregation of 7 different symptoms in ecstatic love for Krishna. There is a proverb in Sanskrit that says, quote, disappointment gives rise to the greatest satisfaction, end quote. In other words, when one's sentiment or ambition becomes too great and is not fulfilled until after seemingly hopeless tribulation, that is taken as the greatest satisfaction. Once, the cowherd boys in Vrindavan were vainly searching after Krishna for a long time, and for that reason their faces had become blackened and their complexions appeared faded. Just then, they could hear on the hill a faint vibration from Krishna's flute. Immediately, all of them became very much gladdened. This is an instance of satisfaction in the midst of disappointment. Srila Rupa Goswami says that although he has no expert knowledge about the sounds and meanings and mellows of the symptoms of ecstatic love, he has tried to give some examples of different varieties of love of Krishna. He further states that the 33 disturbing symptoms of ecstatic love, plus 8 other symptoms, all taken together equal 41 primary symptoms of ecstatic love. These symptoms create transformations of bodily activities, as well as movements of the senses. All of them can be accepted as different feelings of the heart. Sometimes some of the feelings are quite natural. Sometimes some of the feelings are just temporary appearances. Those symptoms that are very natural always remain, both within and without the devotee. One can detect the color of dye a cloth was soaking in by looking at the cloth, or simply by understanding the different signs of these symptomatic features, one can understand the actual position. In other words, attachment for Krishna is one, but because there are different kinds of devotees, such attachment is manifested in many varieties. As clothing tinged red appears red, so the temporary appearance of a certain type of feeling can be detected and observed by the specific ecstatic symptom. In fact, all the different humors and mellows of the devotees produce various specific feelings within the mind, and according to these differences, the symptoms of ecstatic love appear in different forms and degrees. If one's heart is highly elevated, grave, and magnanimous, or if one's heart is rough and crude, different symptoms of ecstatic love will appear, influenced by the condition of the heart. Actually, people cannot generally understand such different qualities of mentality, but when one's heart is very soft or gentle, these symptoms become very easily visible, and one can understand them very clearly. The heart of one who is highly elevated and grave is compared to gold. If one's heart is very soft and gentle, his heart is compared to a cotton swab. When there is an ecstatic sensation within the mind, the golden heart or grave heart is not agitated, but the soft heart immediately becomes agitated. To offer another example, a grave, magnanimous heart is compared to a great city, and a soft heart to an insignificant cottage. There may be many lights or even great elephants in the big city, but no one will take particular notice of them. But when such lights or elephants are seen near a small cottage, everyone can distinctly point them out. A hard heart is compared to a lightning bolt, to gold, and to shellac. The lightning bolt is very strong and never becomes soft. Similarly, the hearts of those who are engaged in severe austerities and penances do not become very easily softened. The golden heart becomes melted at high temperature as in ecstatic love, and the shellac heart is very easily melted in slight temperature. A soft heart is compared to honey, to butter, and to nectar. And the condition of the mind is compared to sunshine. As honey and butter become melted even in slight sunshine, soft-hearted persons become easily melted. Nectar, however, is by its nature always liquid, and the hearts of those who are in pure ecstatic love with Krishna are by nature always liquefied, just like nectar. A pure devotee of Krishna is always specifically qualified with nectarian qualifications, and sometimes with the qualifications of butter and honey. On the whole, the heart on any of the different conditions mentioned above can be melted under certain circumstances, just as a hard diamond is sometimes melted by a combination of certain chemicals. In the Dana Kali Kamudi, it is stated, quote, "When love develops in the heart of a devotee, he cannot check the transformation of his sentiments. His heart is just like the ocean at the rising of the moon when the ebb tide cannot be checked. Immediately, there must be the movement of high waves," end quote. Although in its natural state, the ocean is always grave and unfathomable, when the moon rises, nothing can check the ocean's agitation. Similarly, those who are pure devotees cannot on any account check the movement of their feelings within.